The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
I want to ask you, Manisha, have you ever thought of being an entrepreneur, running your own business?
So, well, within a structure. So when I was at school,
okay,
when I was about 10, I went to the teachers in my school and I said, can we set up a bank in the school? I'm not joking. And we got in touch with the local bank and we said, can you come and help us set up a way that we can get people to come put their pocket money in an account? I mean, they loved me.
Wow.
At the bank.
Yeah.
Bringing in extra business.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This is the difference between you and I, because you think about setting up a bank, you've got this knowledge and all of that. I, as far as entrepreneurship is concerned, I've just thought about being a florist. I'll be honest with you.
Look, now I've seen
surrounded
studies that say having flowers in your home makes you happier. There you go.
That's true. Well, a lot of people think about being their own boss, but getting that million-dollar idea, in your case, literally, because it's a bank, getting that capital, it's quite hard.
Yeah, and it can be quite daunting. And there are individuals out there who've been labelled, actually, serial entrepreneurs because they're clearly really good at this. In fact, the man behind, now it's written UTU, but it's pronounced U2 Global and Global Refund, which has since been acquired and renamed Global Blue. And I have heard of this because I am quite the traveller. Asad Jumbaboy is one of those serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah, Mr. Jumbaboy founded the Singapore-based U2 Global, a digital value-added tax or VAT refund and rewards program targeted at people shopping in Europe. We've used this so many times.
Yes, and his other ventures include Asia Tax-Free Shopping, that was renamed Global Refund in 1999, a goods and services tax refund platform.
In 2007, then Barclays Private Equity, now Equistone Partners, acquired Global Refund for about €350 million, renamed it Global Blue in 2010, and he stayed with the Swiss-headquartered Global Blue as a non-executive director until 2012, when private equity firm Silver Lake bought it for €1 billion.
So, how can one be a serial entrepreneur? He is here to tell us a bit more about his journey, right here in the studio. Good to see you, Asad Jumbaboy, the co-founder and CEO of U2 Global. So tell us. Yeah, tell us a bit about it. How did it all come about?
Well, I've been in this industry now 25 years, and I was always looking to do something more for my customers, always wanting to deliver more, do more, etc. And, you know, you've seen people stand in lines waiting for their VAT refund. I think many of you have stood out there, you know, on this little treasure hunt with your getting your customs chop, etc., and looking at your form, and you talk to people, and you see, well, hey, I'm supposed to get so much tax back, and why am I only getting about half? I should be getting more. And why am I standing in this line, right? So in that, I saw an opportunity to say, hey, wait a minute. People should be rewarded for shopping,
okay,
and not charged for shopping, and not be paying 40, 50% of their VAT, which they should be getting back to shop. So I said, therein lies an opportunity to really serve your customer. And that's what U2 is all about, serving the customer, which is the shop, and the shopper, not just the shopper or the shop.
Right. Could you share with us a little bit about how the business model for U2 works and perhaps some of the difficulties in setting all of this up?
Oh, lots of difficulties. But the business model actually comes out of the point of being fair to customers.
Okay.
All right. How do we deliver that fairness? So it's about rewarding customers. It's about rewarding tourists. It's about rewarding shoppers. And if you look at the cross-border structure, you don't really have a framework wherein you can reward a tourist because there's a lot of things involved. There's payment systems, there's credit cards, there's the VAT refund system, there's the charging of the tourist. Right. So we said, all right, how do we address this question of fairness? How do we address giving more to the tourist shopper? And the answer really was in saying, what tools do I have today? So there's technology, and technology has been able to unlock a lot of value. And if we're able to use that technology effectively, then we can reward the tourist more. So the focus then comes on rewards. So what is U2? U2 is a cross-border rewards platform delivering value for the tourist shopper, right? And therefore delivering more value for shops because people will shop more.
You focused on Europe with U2. Why did you do that?
Well, actually, it's not about a focus on Europe. And in the past, if you see tax-free shopping companies, they're focusing only one half of the equation, and that's the shop. The other half of the equation is the shopper. Now, where do those come from? So if you take a look at VAT refunding, the bulk of the shoppers, in fact, three-quarters of the shoppers are coming from Asia. Mm-hmm. So it's about our Singaporean shoppers, it's about other Asian shoppers, and where does the bulk of the VAT shopping happen? In Europe. So it's about connecting the shops and the shoppers.
Okay.
So for the first time, you're able to look at the shopper as a stakeholder in the process and deliver value to the shopper. Not just about saying we're looking at Europe. No, we're looking at Asia, Europe. We're taking Asian shoppers to European shops.
Right.
Buy more because you get more.
Right. Based on that then, in your opinion, is there anything that's holding tax-free shopping back? Is there any way for it to still move forward? Or should we just have more people travel?
That's always a great ingredient to have, right? Yes, we should have more people travel. But I think tax-free shopping has a long way to go. If you take a look at the factor of rewarding a tourist, and then you look at what they have, options they have, to tourists have today, you know, and our customers say, hey, I want to shop more, I want to travel more. And if you take a look at the tourism numbers, I mean, Singaporeans shop a lot, they travel a lot. And if you look at the research, it's telling you in the next 5 years, you're going to see that, next 10 years, you're going to see that volume double in terms of dollars spent. Europe is a top destination. So it goes well when you say, hey, people go to Europe, people want to shop there. So if you make the process easier, less painful, and if you give the tourist what rightfully belongs to them and find ways to do that, then you're going to find that the industry has this another leap of growth because it's a changed business model to rewarding rather than charging. You know, so we came up with a product called 100% Refund. And that's rooted in having a rewards platform as opposed to a billing platform only. So what happens is that you can deliver the value of 100% refund if you understand tourist rewarding and you understand coupons and vouchers and value add and things that shops use to attract shoppers, right? And it's a question of delivering that value. If you look at the system today, you're only getting 50-60% of your value you should be getting.
Asad, it seems to me as we listen to you that you very much have based these developments on real life experiences and seen where there is a problem. You know, it might be lines at the VAT refund desk, or, you know, it might be fumbling with lots of receipts or whatever it might be. And you've realized that you need a solution. So is that the core of any idea that an entrepreneur needs to think about?
I think the core of the idea is your customer and being fair to your customer. You know, and can you add value? And if you can add value, then you should go out there and do it. And that's what we try to do at U2.
And what's, I mean, you were talking about how you're developing the product. How do you see this? How do you see this growing? How do you see the future for U2?
Well, I think we've been blessed to live in an era of great technology and technological liberation.
Yeah.
We've seen so many staid, old-style business models where people look at one side of the equation, right, and look to seek their funding from the customer, for example, but not deliver the value. So I think that this technology will unlock our ability to deliver value to people. Which, what does that mean? In tangible ways, it means, can we cut the line? Number two, can we give more value? Number three, can we connect the shopper to the shop, right? Because it's about rewarding more, but it's also about, you know, selling more. Because VAT refunds, if you look at it, is really to incentivize people to shop. So if we can do all of things, then yes, I think there's a great future in this business.
Asad, you're a serial entrepreneur. So what's in your portfolio?
Not much. And a lot.
Wow.
And a lot.
I like that answer. How do you decide, I mean, what you're going to invest in next?
You know, it's a question of, you know, doing one thing at a time and trying to get it right. So I spent the last 25 years starting by doing a small refund. And now hopefully we're going to do a big refund, right? So the issue is focus. Okay. The issue is innovation. And if you can do that, then you're doing a good thing. So do that one thing, focus, get it right, you know. And if you can get it better, keep doing it right.
Asad, do you read a lot? Do you have to do a lot of research?
Fortunately, I have lots of help too.
Okay, that's nice.
I do read a fair bit, yes. I read a lot about what's happening in technology, what tools we can have, how I can get better, how I can improve, how I can learn. You know, there's a whole bunch of new young talent there, and it's a question of learning from them, mm-hmm. and I got to keep up.
Asan, a lot of successful people say it's really about learning from your mistakes, or maybe even learning from other people's mistakes. For you, what are some of the mistakes or lessons that have stood out for you in your life? Any chance you could share some of them?
Lots. and I keep making new ones every day. But I think, you know, the biggest mistake is not to focus and not to be prepared. So I spend a lot of time in preparation. I spend a lot of time thinking and before I act. And when I was a lot younger, I used to act a lot quicker than I thought. You know?
Aren't we all?
and so there's some wisdom that comes from that. It's about, you know, being able, making sure you have your planning right, your financial planning right, what you're going to deliver. Is it tangible? Does it create interest and value for your customers?
Sure.
What are you focusing on? So it's always about focus. And I find that every time I lose focus or I waver away from the path that I should be on, you do things wrong.
It's interesting, this word focus, because actually this is the second time it's come up for us in a week. We interviewed just last week a young lad, 18, an entrepreneur, and he said this as well. He said, you know, I'm very focused. But what does that really mean? And because there's so much noise in the world, it's all around us.
Well, I sometimes go back to looking at sport, you know, and to be a good sportsman, be a good athlete, you've got to train and you've got to be really, really concentrated on what you're doing. You know, you give it all, you give it your best. And that's focus. So preparation, right? Thinking, planning, working, getting there. That's focus.
You work with your son at U2. I'm curious, what's it like working with your son? Because as a younger man, he certainly got ideas. You're both tuned into technology. I'm sure he's got a different point of view. How do you manage this dynamic?
Well, it's a question of...
Oh, does he get grounded often?
No, it's a question... He's a grounded guy. But it's a question of mentoring and learning.
Okay.
And sometimes that goes both ways. So the things that he's really good at, he's very tech-savvy. He's got a lot of things that add value to what my thoughts are. Mm-hmm. I add a lot of value to strategically, you know. So there's a lot of give and take. One of the not-so-good things is that we never leave the office because we take it home.
No rules on that when you get back home?
Not really, because, you know, I've grown up in a business family. He's grown up in a business family. But I know we have a lot of family time, but there's always the 5 minutes you can sneak here and then say, hey, you know, that conversation we didn't finish.
Yeah.
But it's great working with him. And there's a bunch of other young folk at U2. So one of the good things about being an older guy is that sort of, you know, it's like there's a lot of mentoring and there's a lot of learning. So we tend to have like two types of people in the business. We have people who are experts in the areas like cards, like technology, like payment systems, and like tax-free, me.
Okay.
Right? And then you have a lot of people who come with new technologies, new knowledge, new ideas, vigor, energy, you know, in order to be able to take that to fruition. So if I look at working with my son, which to answer your question, I see a lot of energy, I see a lot of talent, I see a lot of knowledge. It's a question of harnessing that and using him to push me.
Now, I was talking earlier about there being a lot of noise in the world. We've been making a lot of noise lately about trade wars, about geopolitical tensions. When you have a business which is exposed to the travel market, for example, how do you see these sorts of issues playing out for you in the near-term future?
Well, I mean, you know, the road is never straight. We're all used to twists and turns. If you look at the graph that you see on any market, it's never straight. So, yes, there will be challenges, and there will be opportunities with those challenges.
In the studio with us is Asan Jumaboy, co-founder and CEO at U2 Global. Just to quickly wrap up, Asan, a lot of people out there, myself included, thinking about becoming an entrepreneur one day, what would you tell them is step number one?
So step number one is to try to know as much about what you want to do.
Yeah.
Not to know, you know, then there comes how to do it and et cetera.
But it's that finding that $1 million idea is so hard.
How do you figure out what you want to do?
Well, I think the idea finds you. You know, you come with experience.
Yep.
I mean, to be able to do the job I'm doing right now, I've come with 25 years experience and I say, okay, I have a eureka moment. Let's reward the customer, right? So for a lot of people, it'll come to you in your career. whatever your experience is, whatever your background is, that opportunity will come to you. And that's the beauty about being in a market where you can take that opportunity, you can have that idea, you can have that dream, and you can actually achieve it.
Any thoughts on Manisha's putting a bank in a school idea?
I think she's doing great at the radio station.
Oh, Asad Juma Boy, co-founder and CEO at U2 Global. Asad, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.